This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome to the War Room here at BPN Radio. Okay, today we have got a different aspect we're going to talk about. We looked at the history in the past and the previous talks, and we looked at the last 100 years. And we're going to move on a bit. So we want to look more into the practicalities of the war room. What, first of all, why do we need a war room? We need a war room possibly to follow the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is to preach the gospel to all creatures. And the big problem we have, which I perceive, is that the church has forgotten to go to war. We've got a couple of scriptures which describe our commission as a method or a manner of going into war. And it's not a war of any physical characteristics. The Bible calls it, it's not a war against flesh and blood. But it is a war against principalities, against powers, against every high thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So that is what this war is all about. It's a war of ideas, a war of words, a war of winning the hearts and minds of people who are on their way to hell. And that is very important. So we're going to be looking at different methods on how to do this and how to create a war room, a room in which we can conduct warfare. Now, where does this war room idea come from? When you look at the Second World War, there were several aspects to war. There were, on the German side as well as on the Allies side, little command centers. And there were little places all over who were specializing in cracking the war, in developing strategy and controlling what is going on outside. And one of the rooms, again, which I stumbled on was in here in England, in a place called Bletchley Park, where all the communication of the enemy was cracked and decrypted, any communication they got hold of. And a lot of people believe that if it weren't for this small place in the middle of nowhere, with a bunch of people working there and a handful of guys having this idea to start cracking something which was considered to be uncrackable, the war would have been different. The outcome of the war would have been different. Okay, so I think as Christians we should learn from that, and we should facilitate technology. We should come out of our ghettos, go into this world and understand what is going on in this world and tackle the issues in this world head on and go to war, destroy concepts and ideas people deem themselves safe in, but ultimately these ideas are just leading them to hell. Okay, today a war room on your computer, or a war room inside of your computer, your laptop, or even to take it one step further, a war room inside your USB stick. That's what we are looking at today. Is it possible? Of course it's possible. And we use computers for all sorts of purposes. We use them to gain information, to have a media center, to watch television or videos. We use it for communication. We use it for storing our data. We're using for organizing our data. We're using it to collect data, yeah, and also for reading and so on. And it's not just, I apologize, my flu is still here. It is not just for on your desktop computer. We use it for our laptops, our tablet PCs, and also our Android phones. There's a lot of stuff on there. What I want to look at today is just maybe give you some ideas on how to make the most of your computer and possibly dedicate a computer for the purposes of, going to war against the strongholds that set itself itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay, let's have a look at what we need to do within our war room. Before I start, let me just give you just one more crucial idea. And I tried it out and it does work. And it is especially relevant for those who fear to be persecuted, who are living in a context of persecution. And it's, it you know, when we're talking about the West, it may be a thing where you, you think to yourself, it's not really that much of an issue. There's nothing illegal about this. I'm not breaking the law. So why should I conceal what I'm doing on my computer? And that is good and fine. But if you live in Saudi Arabia, if you live in Iran, if you live even in Syria, and if you live in Syria and you are a Muslim who has come to Christ, if you live in pretty much any other Islamic country and you are a Muslim who has come to Christ, you are in danger once discovered, once detected, of losing your life. And it's perfectly legitimate to have a clandestine approach of having your Christian war room hidden away on your computer. One way to do it is you can use a simple USB stick. I tried it out. I bought a 16 gigabyte USB stick and I started installing a virtual machine. So I had a VM player on my computer. VMware player, you can just download it. It's free for personal use. There's also something from Microsoft called Virtual PC. Again, you can install that one instead. And then you just need an operating system. What I would do is I would install one operating system, one fake operating system on my computer. So there's a reason for you to have VMware Player or VPC installed on your computer. And people would not expect that you that you've got like another operating system separately. And then the other operating system, I would put it on a USB stick. And I would recommend, and this was my big mistake, I would recommend to go for a USB stick that has got about 32 gigabytes, not 16. I went for one with 16, but the operating system and all the way up to about, once it was all blown up, to about 8 gigabytes, and it didn't leave much space for anything else to be installed on there. I did manage to do it, but it was very, very tight. And they're not that expensive either, so if you can afford a computer, then you may as well afford a USB stick of that caliber. Now, the USB stick then can contain all the interesting stuff, can contain all your intelligence. And should you ever get raided, very simple ways of protecting yourself. You can swallow, you know, the USB stick, even though I don't recommend it. I used to teach, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. I used to teach ethical hacking, where I was teaching network and network engineers and computer experts and intelligence people on how to hack into systems from a defensive point of view. So you need to know how to attack a system and how to get into a system if you intend to protect the system from intrusion. And so we were looking at maybe, 100 ways of going into a network and cracking accounts and taking control of networks and, shutting down holes, loopholes as well, but or vulnerabilities on the system. But I picked up one very interesting talk, we were talking about this as well, if you, as a hacker, want to conceal your doings, one of the ways of doing this is you use this little USB stick, you use a virtual machine, you power everything up from the virtual machine, and then you do all your evil stuff as a hacker. And so if you ever get tracked down, and there are obviously lots of ways to conceal your identity and to anonymize yourself, and again, we're going to look at this in a different talk, maybe the next one or one after, you can anonymize yourself, and then it's very, very hard to track you down. Should you get tracked down through betrayal or, people just have got a hunch and they try to find some evidence, somebody told me that the easiest way to defend yourself is a £2.50 hammer. Yeah, so you buy a hammer, keep it near the computer. If anybody knocks on the door and you think it's the law, or in the instance where you are, it's you know, the people who try to persecute you and find out whether you are the guy who's doing all the Christian stuff. You just take the hammer, you smash the USB stick, and it's virtually impossible to put it back together. And they will not be able to collect any evidence against you. Okay, so I mean, that's one method of how you can protect yourself in the context of persecution. And my friends, I mean, I don't want to freak you out, but when you go into the West, and we have seen this under the Obama administration in the USA, that that I think we were only inches away from persecution. I know in Texas there were some. I think it was in Houston where there was a lesbian governor, and she had it in for Christians, and obviously all her issues in her life are all about sexuality, or seemingly all about sexuality. So she had to subpoena all the sermons and all the things that is being preached in the churches, so that they could collect evidence to try and drag people into court if anything what they said would not agree with their agenda. Yeah. And this was pretty much the end of the freedom of speech. I'm not quite sure how long this went. I mean, that was just an onslaught on, you know, literally on freedom of speech. And that was the beginning of persecution. And I mean, when it comes to that point, where you're no longer free to say what you want to say, but the Bible has got a very clear message, and some of the messages are offensive to some people. And if we are no longer allowed to make those statements or repeat those statements in the Bible, then who do we listen to? Do we listen to God, or do we listen to the people who tell us that this is no longer politically correct and we must refrain from saying anything of the sort? So the answer is obvious. We follow God, and then we might be forced to use methods like this to try and protect ourselves and not to... I think even in America, you've got, is it the fifth, where you complete the fifth to not self-incriminate yourself. So you don't need to hand the evidence on the plate to them, where you make, in the eyes of the Constitution, perfectly, you know, acceptable statements. In the eyes of God, you're saying what you have to say, but in the eyes of some people in society, they say what you're saying is offensive, and therefore you need to be taken care of, yeah. And we don't need to hand it to them on a plate, I don't think. Anyway, so that's one way of doing this. So you can run everything from a USB stick on a virtual machine. You can run your whole project from there. And so even if they confiscate your computer and they try to find out whether you've been looking at nasty scriptures in the Bible, they will not be able to trace it down, and they will not be able unless they get hold of a little USB stick, which you can hide very easily, or if necessary, destroy if it comes down to the crunch. Okay, what do you do on your war room computer? So the first thing you do is you create folders, and obviously you will have a vision of what your job is and which part of society you want to reach out to. And what are the issues you are dealing with? You know, are you dealing with, for example, apologetics within Islam, or are you dealing with the concept of evolution? Are you trying to crack into the youth culture of wherever you are, or maybe you try to crack into the gang culture and try to crack the gangs with the gospel of where you live? So you will have your folders, and you will use these folders to collect materials which will be relevant to your target audience, and also you collect information you can retrieve on and about the target audience. And also you can create your prayer journals within the same context and create your folders on your computer where you can organize all the data and all the relevant information. You then start collecting data, and that's... can be widely. You can use it via lots of interesting tools for data collection. There's one which is called archive.org, which allows you to see on old websites, on stuff that's no longer available on the internet, but it could be very interesting information, especially when websites are getting shut down, when people are scared for whatever reason. You can use archive.org to sometimes try and retrieve images or old websites to get hold of information. Then you've obviously got Google. There is another search engine, and I've forgotten it. Let me see whether the other computer just went down. DuckDuckGo, that's the one. Yeah. The problem we've sometimes got with Google is got a very, allegedly, I don't know whether it's true. I've seen somebody try it out and he came up that Google apparently has got a very leftist bias. That when you put searches in, that a lot of stuff, which is, you know, Christian, possibly right-wing oriented, it's got to be ignored and you don't get it anymore. Yeah? So they are very selective in the, apparently. I've seen one guy, he did some experiments in certain search terms and he seemed to confirm it. How true it is, I don't know. Yeah? It also depends on, obviously with Google, what searches you've done before. They look at your cookie history and they try to tailor everything and then obviously they target the advertising as well. It's sometimes quite scary what they do and how they do this. But there are other search engines. There's apparently one which is supposed to be quite good. I can't verify, which is DuckDuckGo, DuckDuckGo. And then obviously we've got all the old ones, but unfortunately, many of them, they go right back to Google as well. There's also a search engine, and I've forgotten what it was called. They're so-called relational search engines. One of them was called Katu. I don't know whether they still exist and they still do stuff, but basically what they do is they look at a website and they look at the links inside the website, and then they spread out some sort of net, which you can visually see. So you see all the links to other websites which are linked to one particular website and then also cross links. And it sometimes gives you a very good idea of what is going on. So if you research a target group, maybe a little tribe in the Amazons, maybe a gang in the area where you live, which you try to reach out to, maybe people or adherents of a certain religious group or cult, or I don't know, you know, whatever your target is, yeah, it sometimes helps to get this information from a relational search engine. Okay, so just keep this in the back of your mind, and if you have got questions, feel free on the website, which is it's christianwarroom.com. Go on the website, and if you're interested, just leave a note on some of the posts. I'll be able to see them. And I'll try to get back to you and get you some more concrete information on these websites. Okay, what else do you need? There's tons of stuff on YouTube. There's clipconverter.cc. They unfortunately give you a lot of adverts, nasty adverts. But if you wanted to download some stuff from YouTube, which is relevant, maybe even create your own tract from YouTube or something, you can... you can download films and videos from there, and sometimes it might be a lot easier than giving somebody something that's written, because the way people are programmed today, we are audio-visual people. We are no longer people who read books. Yeah? So if you give somebody a tract, the chances they read it is probably very unlikely. If you've got a video and you just play it somewhere, the chances that somebody gets intrigued and looks at it are a lot higher. So you can... download videos using Clip Converter or just the audio files from videos. There's other software as well, and you can, again, store them away. Maybe put them on a USB stick and just give somebody a USB stick, you know, like a couple of gigabyte USB stick, which you can pick up these days if you look around for, I wouldn't say a penny a piece, but not quite a dollar, you know, probably less than a dollar or something if you buy them in bulk. But you could put some stuff on there and just hand them out, and people always love USB sticks, and there's a good chance that that they will look at the stuff that's being placed on there. What else? You download PDFs, bookmarks, I mentioned audio and video files. And then we've got the other thing as well, is you may want to create some material. There's a lot of free software around there. So if you've got Windows 7, there's something which is called Movie Maker. So you can create your own films by just using photos and maybe a microphone, and you can comment on them. That's the easiest way of making a film. And it takes a little bit to get your head around it, but it is not too difficult. You can create your own films. Also, you can, you use your camera, use your smartphone, start filming something, filming something which is interesting, and then use Movie Maker to do a little bit of cutting, and editing. So you can do all this with that. There's also other interesting stuff which you can use as software called Visio in Microsoft and Draw in OpenStar Office. And again, OpenStar Office, if you haven't got any money, it's free. You don't have to pay for it. There's a lot of, it's called open source software. And you can utilize this software to, write tracks, write documents, create small newsletters and things like that. And also you can create interesting images. Yeah? So again, people are not really kind of people anymore. But people are image oriented, so you can create an image and you can put a message in, little bubbles, squares, and whatever, and stick them all together, or make up signposts of some sort or another, or little posters. You can do all this in OpenStar Office, and I think the company is now called Apache. Or you can use just the Microsoft products as well, or other products. There's collaboration software as well available. So if you work in a team and you can't meet, but you want to take maybe one evening apart where you discuss stuff and you do some war room activity, there's a software called Padlet, and it's padlet.com. It's padlet.com. And I think, unfortunately, they charge now. But there are other software types as well. One of them is called Linoit. And it's just like some online whiteboard where you can just leave messages and things like that. So people just need to put in the same code and it becomes visible for every participant in the conference. And linoit.com is linoit .com, C-O-M. Yeah. And then there's webwhiteboard.com, the same thing. And again, they're just sort of collaboration tools. So you can you just make up a board, or you can even register with them, which is free. And you just send a link to one of your friends by email, and then they put the link on their browser, and then this whiteboard pops up, and you can just discuss things and, have little things which are going on. And it might be an idea, if you can't meet online, and maybe you are separated by through geographical boundaries, so you might be in Europe and your friend might be in America, or vice versa, or in a different state or a different town, and it's not easy to meet, but you're still having and sharing the same vision to try and reach out, and you're setting some time apart to create a strategy. So that is one way of doing it. Okay, what else can you use? So we talked about local intelligence gathering and so on, and then obviously the most important thing on your war room is you need to have some sort of Bible. There's obviously all the online stuff like Bible Gateway, but also bear in mind that your online facilities may not be available all the time, so it makes good sense to download a Bible. And there's one Bible software package which is free, and you can download it, and it's called E-Sort. Just Google it, E-Sort. So it's E-Sort, S-W-O-R-D. And you can then download loads and loads of Bible and study modules for your computer, including giving you access to Greek and Hebrew as well. So if you wanted to have a deeper study into certain aspects of the Bible, you can do this from there as well. So that's very, very important. You can also download it on your smartphone as well, and I tend to have it on every computer, every smartphone. It's very, very useful, very, very important. Some of the modern translations are not available, so NIV is not available for free. You have to pay for it. That means it is available, but you have to pay for it. But there are some very good There's MKJV, Modern King James, and I think New King James. No, New King James is not available. But there are some good some good Bibles available, which you can use, including a lot of old translations as well. Okay, we have got, I'm just looking at the time, we've got only a few minutes left to go through this. There's a lot of other stuff you can put on there. There's Microsoft Publisher. For audio recording, there's a software called Audacity. It's a little bit delicate to install. So Audacity works, and it works with all the open source stuff. But if you want to use an MP3, you need to download the MP3 codec separately, and you know, to make it all work. Okay, what else? I'm just going to try to go, you know, through very, very quickly to just make the point. You can create your war room on your own computer. So what else do you need? There are website tools which you can download. There are lots of free ones out there as well. Just put on open source, you know, web developer or web editor or HTML editor. There's WordPress, where you can set up free websites, wordpress.com. Go for PDF conversion software if it's not available. Again, free to download, so you can create your own PDFs from the documents you create. There's some ebook software as well. Contact me if you need to know some of them, and you can take just an ordinary Word document and turn it into an ebook. And for Kindle or you know, any of the other ebook formats, and you can sort of try and pass them on. And some people still love them, and they go for them. There's also online publishing as well. There are a lot of online publishers where you can offer books for free, or you can even make a few pennies or something. So you can write your own book, put them onto one of these online publishers, and they take a share, you get a share, and it could be even lucrative for you as well to make a little bit of money. What else do you need? You need email software. Again, no problem. Plenty of stuff available. Plenty of free stuff available. Translation software. You may need a webcam with your computer, Skype and YouTube as well. You may go into social media. Again, no problem. Everything is free. And there's one very interesting thing. So if you've got a missionary heart, there's one book which is called Operation World. Just Google it, Operation World. It'll give you statistical data about every country you can in the world. It's about 200 and something. Every country in the world, and you find out the issues and the problems they have, and you know, the progress the gospel has made in each country. And it allows you to pray for every country, you know, once a day or something. You know? App development as well, if you are so inclined, and you can create a calendar and a timeline. You know, Microsoft Project as some software to work on a project and to try and pull it through. Okay, so today we were talking about the war room inside your computer, and hopefully I could inspire you a little bit in this talk, and I would encourage you to think about what can you do with your computer, your smartphone, to create a Christian war room, and to use it to push the gospel, you know, to follow the Great Commission, and to push the gospel forward. Also, what can you do to try and collaborate with other people, with your friends, and to not just be a lone ranger, but to work as an army to try and tackle a problem, to get the gospel out there, and to you know, to get people and snatch them away from the gates of hell. Okay, Lord, I want to praise you for this talk. I want to praise you for this time. And I want to praise you for technology as it is available today. We ask you that you will guide us, that you will inspire us, that you will, you know, that you will inspire us to look beyond the horizon and to make use of the facilities, of the tools we've got today. Pray that you will open our eyes to what is there, and that we can use it to the best of our ability, and that we can use it as tools of war to overcome the blindness people have and to present to them the truth of the living God. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Schonborn. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.